Welcome into episode 129 of Galileo Men Podcast. Last week we talked about things to do, top 10 things to do in your marriage. Probably could have come up with like 100. It's going to be the same today. Probably could come up with a lot, but these are the top 10 things not to do in your marriage. I don't think we have a whole lot of intro other than just jumping into the list, but
I would just say briefly, there's a lot of bad marriage advice out there.
There is.
There's a lot of bad marriage advice, and there's a lot of things that, not to slam the boomers like I tend to like to do, but a lot of things that, you know, boomers and older generations do in their marriage that it's just not a good idea. Yep. And so this is why I think we said at the start of the last episode, or maybe the end of the other one, like, me and Joe have not been married. Neither one of us have been married 10 years, 15 years between us. A lot of people might look at it and say, these are young guys, still early on, you know, in their marriage. What do they know? Apparently, we know a lot more than some of the older generations. Like, not to be cocky, not to be arrogant at all, but, you know, we've pretty easily compiled this list of, like, here's the things not to do, and a lot of them, unfortunately, older people can be guilty of.
Right, and, yeah, again, we're not trying to be jerks here. We're not trying to say we have it all together, but a lot of this can be compiled by looking at the older generations and seeing where it's going wrong. Yeah. And looking at our own marriages.
Absolutely.
We're not perfect in our marriage, no doubt. There's a lot of growth, and there's a lot of old people that might go, well, wait till you get there. Which I hate, because it's kind of like, are you rooting for me to fail?
Yeah, exactly.
Or, you know,
like, oh, you just wait.
Like, right.
Come on.
I can't stand that. But on the other hand, yeah, we got a long way to go. But hopefully we will keep these things in mind, which will spur us on to a better life together, better marriage as we go forward. But as we get into the things not to do, the top 10. Will, I went first last time.
Yeah, I'll go first. Let's go 10 to 1 this time, too. We went 1 to 10 last time.
Yeah, so, there you go.
Number 10, do not compare your wife to anybody else. All I put is, like, don't compare her. And so there's, like, the trope of, like, don't compare her cooking to your mom's cooking type of thing. That's usually pretty silly. What I mean is, like, man, above all else, don't compare her to the celebrity as far as looks goes. Don't compare her, you know, if you had a sexual past. Certainly don't compare her sexually in any way.
Right.
There is nothing that can really damage a woman, your wife's self-esteem, more than if you are comparing her in any way. Again, physical looks, even things like cooking or the way she keeps the house or things she does, again, sexually speaking, comparing her to somebody else. Because what that tells your wife is, oh, you're thinking of somebody else, even if it's a celebrity, you know, somebody that you'll never meet. Like, oh, you're thinking of that person, or you're thinking of that person at work, or you're thinking, like, man, do not compare your spouse to anybody else, verbally or even mentally. Like, again, it's just very dangerous for you to do, and your wife, again, you will damage your wife's self-esteem if you're bringing that stuff up. Like, man, you don't do this quite as well as da-da-da-da, or I don't know. Any thoughts on this one? This is kind of a unique one.
This is a really good one. Women are particularly prone to comparison. That's why you see, you know, all the mean girl type stuff, the drama back and forth, is they do compare to one another. They do look at the pretty woman online, and do I look like her? And, oh, man, I'm never going to look like her. This is really, really jarring, and it's tough for us guys as well. Like, we can struggle with comparison.
But if you're feeding that for her, then
correct.
It's even worse.
If you're feeding it, that's horrible. She comes to you to not feed that. She comes to you for this safety and security, right, and for fidelity. And when you are comparing somebody else, it feels almost like a cheating type thing where you've invited someone else, and you've never even talked to the other person. It doesn't matter. You invited somebody else in on some comparison level. Yeah, like you said, some are cheesy. I've talked to my wife about the difference between her cooking and my mom's cooking. My mom is a fantastic cook. My wife is incredible. So that comparison works out. But, you know, in some ways, like, there's some things my mom does better. That's fine. Don't worry about that. We're talking exactly as you said, some serious things, no doubt. So I really like that one. Number one on my list.
So number nine.
Number nine.
Yeah,
you're right. There you go. We're getting this right. Number nine, don't come home and sulk. Don't come home and sulk. Not a big fan of this one. As I spoke to this last week, had a time recently where I was having a really tough day, and I came in. One of the things that my wife was great at is she sat down with me, like, and she even spoke to this after. She's like, I don't see that very often at all, where you had a really tough day, a really bad day. Like, you don't hardly do that at all. And that's not to pump my own tires. That's just to say, like, I make a very concerted effort to leave all my stuff.
Compartmentalized, kind of.
Yes. This is my shed where I meet with my clients. I make a very concerted effort to, like, leave it here, and when I walk in the house, it's go time. I'm here for the kids. I'm here for her. What can I help with? I'm ready for dinner. I really try to leave all that. I see a lot of guys that come home and turn on the TV, sit back, don't bother dad. He's in his chair type of thing. Had a tough day. Like, get over yourself. You don't know if your wife had a tough day because you haven't paid attention to her.
Yeah.
Like, don't sulk. Make sure you check in. Give her a kiss. Be happy to see your kids. Get on the floor and play with them. Give them the best part of you, because they didn't know you had a tough day. all they know is dad's home and they want to play with him. Make that a time, the best part of their day, where they walk in, it's dad, and that's great. There's nothing better as a dad to hear that from your kids, and nothing better as a husband to see your wife come over and give you a kiss. You give her a kiss, and it's just this ultra connecting moment of, I missed her all day, she's missed you, and it's great, instead of like, you know, I just need some time.
That's a very immature thing to do.
It's a very immature thing.
I'm so glad you said that. You're like, get over yourself. Everybody has tough days. You and somebody might say, man, it's just that you're asking a lot. I worked all day and then I need to go and do all that with my family. Yeah, you signed up for that when you got married and had kids. So, yeah, I don't have very much patience for that either. That's a really good one. Number eight, do not be passive aggressive in your marriage. This is one I didn't know if we'd have any overlap on, but
no, that's good.
Passive, first of all, being passive aggressive as a male is just a horrible trait, like as a woman too, but like you as a man, if you're going to be, I'd rather you be outwardly aggressive instead of passively aggressive. I'm not talking about hitting people. I just mean being direct about what is upsetting you versus kind of the sly comments or the little digs here and there to your spouse, or, well, I really wish you, It's like, be direct with your spouse. If you've got something bothering you, tell your spouse, sit down, have a conversation, tell your wife and say, this really bothered me and here's why. Or I'm really upset and frustrated. Here's why. My wife and I, full disclosure, had a conversation last night where we disagreed about something and I didn't just sit there and, like, you know, look out the window and wait for her to ask me. No, like we talked about it and it, like, just don't be passive aggressive. Again, it's a bad trait for anybody, but especially for a father and for a husband to be passive aggressive, because it's basically you're making your wife, number one, it elongates it to where the conflict and the argument can just take so much longer because she's having to, like, pull it out of you instead of you just coming out and saying, here's what's bothering me. And so that makes it worse on that end. But then also it's just, it's a wimpy thing to do. I don't know any other word for it other than just kind of wimpy and really effeminate to do. Just be direct. It's okay to get upset. It's okay to be frustrated with something your wife did or whatever it is. Don't be passive aggressive about it. Be very direct and be very, just conversation. We talked about over communication last time. Just communicate about it and don't, again, have her try to pull it out of you or drop little hint. Women can be bad about this, but like dropping hints and little subtle things that you want her to pick up on. Like, listen, she can't read your mind.
Right.
Just tell her. So yeah, that was a rant for me.
I love it. Or the burying it, you know, of like, it's not that big a deal. And then it comes out later. And once again, you're treating her really, really poorly because everything makes you upset. Why'd you do this? And you're snapping at her because you can't just say. She's like,
whoa, where'd this come from?
Right. Yeah. Hey, this really upset me. It's a lack of trust is really what it comes from in the relationship. Is I can't trust you to look you in the eye and say, this really hurt when you did X, Y, Z. I have to kind of, you know, get it in a back door and a little jab in there or whatever it is, passive aggressively. As godly a man, that's not what we do. I think that's a fantastic point.
And don't do that under any circumstance. At work, with a friend, like passive, we need to do a whole episode on it, for goodness sakes. Yeah. But like being passive aggressive is just a bad trait, but specifically in your marriage.
That's good stuff. All right, number seven, I believe. Don't let things linger. I'm a big believer, I've talked about this before on the podcast, in the 15-minute rule. If I'm still thinking about it, if something upsets me and I'm thinking about it 15 minutes later, okay, it's not like, okay, now it's 15 minutes. Okay, let's go talk.
Set a timer on your watch.
Right. Yeah. It's not exactly that, but it's like, you know what? If I'm doing something and it just pops up, I'm like, man, that really does. I'm really kind of frustrated at that. I will go and talk to my wife. And so I say it's a 15-minute rule, but it's somewhere around there. You know, after 15 minutes, you go and talk. We don't have bitterness in the relationship for that reason. Nothing lingers. I don't let this linger overnight. I don't let this linger for a week where I'm really, really frustrated, but, you know, it's not that big a deal. And I try to convince myself that it's not, or I passive aggressively take it out on her. Like, no, we will go and talk, but I don't let things linger because this is where bitterness and resentment comes from. And no, I let it go, quote unquote, until you have a big blow up in a month. And all of a sudden for the last month, you have a stack, you know, a mile high of do all the things in the last month
that where you she let go.
That you let go. No, you didn't. Yeah. You didn't let go. You just stacked it up and waited for the opportune moment. Don't stack anything up. If you have nothing in your water bottle that can, you know, is getting filled, then you're good. Like, you will have a fantastic marriage if you don't let things linger and you're consistently talking about whatever it is that's bothering you.
When we did the top 10 list last week of things to do in your marriage, jokingly, I was going to say my first one of top 10 things to do in your marriage is choose your battles. Because I know Joe is very anti-choose your battles. I think he's exactly right, because that's what you're talking about. Well, you know, this one's not that bad. I'm just going to let it go. I'm going to choose my battles.
Not the hill I'm going to die on.
Right, but you're still going to bother you. You're still going to let it linger. And like Joe said, in 2 months when y'all have a really big argument, you're probably still going to bring it up. Well, guess what? You didn't choose your battle then, actually.
Right.
You just kind of held on to it. And so, yeah, I was jokingly going to do that last episode and forgot. But, yeah.
I would have turned off the episode and been like, we're done.
No more. No more of this. Yeah. Number six, do not befriend other females separate from your wife.
Mm.
This one should be very basic, but man, one can be very dangerous, obviously, for obvious adultery reasons, infidelity reasons. But even if you never go, you know, the full extent of cheating on your wife, you befriend somebody at work or, you know, your secretary or, goodness, even somebody, I don't know, at your congregation or somebody at your gym or there's all kind of somebody online, for goodness sakes. Anytime there is a relationship there that your wife is not really a part of, red light, you know, you ought to be seeing red flags. Like, slow down and completely stop, turn around, go the other direction. It's just nothing good has ever come out of that. Once you choose to get married and have a wife, your time of having female friends is pretty well over.
Oh, yeah.
You know, unless it's in the context of like you and your wife are hanging out with another couple. Like, obviously nothing wrong with that. But you friends with somebody that your wife isn't really friends with, those days are over. And Joe can probably speak way more to this with the people that he deals with in therapy. I would feel remiss if I didn't put this one on my list of like, just don't even look for female friendships outside of your wife that your wife's not going to be involved in. It's just a recipe for disaster. For, again, maybe you don't even cheat on her, but you develop an emotional connection with somebody who's not your wife. You look forward to seeing her in the office. You know, you can't wait to see her at the gym or whatever it is. And, you know, lo and behold, you may never cheat on her. You've got that emotional connection. You've got the romantic thoughts and your thought. It's just a recipe for disaster.
Emotional infidelity is a thing. It absolutely is a thing. And it hurts sometimes just as much as regular fidelity, because it's like, it's just the same. It's one step further. You didn't actually sleep with her, but everything, but all of the emotions you didn't ever share with me. This is really, really insidious, because it starts with like, it's completely platonic. Don't worry about it.
Dude, we just work together.
Right, exactly. And then it's like you tell her and it starts and it's perfectly fine. A couple jokes, a little flirtatious, whatever it is. And then you have a really tough argument with your wife and you bring it into work. What's wrong? What's going on? And it's like, oh, it's nothing. No, I can tell you're off today. Yeah, my wife and I are just having a tough time. And oh, I'm really sorry to hear that. And then the next day it comes in and then boom, 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 boom. And next thing you know, you're absolutely not.
Yeah.
You safeguard that like crazy. The other thing is, for the guy that has a ton of relationships with females, even if it's one or two or three different, no, you got dad issues, in my opinion. Like, legitimately, you have dad issues. If a guy needs to be friends with guys,
yeah,
if you can't make friends with other guys, you have therapy work to do. You got to work through your dad issues, because you're finding more solace in women, which tells me you're probably closer to your mom. If you make friends with females very easily, it's sisters and women that you know, and your mom that you're connected with, and that's where you feel you can be open and honest.
Yeah.
Go work through your issues with your dad and become friends with other guys is what I would say.
That's a really good one.
Number five, do not lean out in times of struggle. Easiest thing to do. Call your dad, call your brother, call your mom, call somebody else. It's like,
would you believe what?
Yeah, exactly. She did this again, and you're running her down. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. You know, Will and I could talk about things. We'll talk about our marriage from time to time. I don't remember last time I shared something negative. Like, I don't have a ton of negativity.
Well, it's generally things that we're struggling with. Like, exactly. Not my wife sucks. It's more, man, I've been really struggling with this, or this is going, you know, it's correct. It's different.
Or it's a marital struggle together where we're going through a tough time, whatever it is, but it's never running your wife down.
Yeah.
Don't ever run your wife down to somebody else. That's not their place. That's not appropriate. When you're leaning out, I always say lean in to these things, which is like, yeah, I may not be able to stand you at this time. I'm going to lean in until we figure this out. Hopefully you don't have a whole lot of times you can't stand the other person. But when you lean out and you find solace in somebody else, even if it's not another female, but you're going back to your, you know, to your family, or you're talking to your best friend and the old ball and chain type of thing, or, well, we had another argument. What that creates is they get to see the negativity, but they often don't see the resolution, because you're not near as fast to go and tell them, yeah, we patched things up. Things are really, really good. You told them all the negative and didn't tell them the positive. And so
that's what lingers in their mind.
Correct. Yeah. And so they're like, man, he's got a terrible marriage. And oh, wow, she's doing it again next time. And so they're going to feed into that negativity. Don't lean out.
I was talking to my wife about this list. I was talking to Joe. I struggled to put – the other one was easier to put together, the top five things to do. I came up with that pretty easily. And the top five things not to do, I struggled with a little bit more. And so I was asking her – this was similar to one of the ones she brought up, and that is, don't belittle your spouse. Mm-hmm. Don't belittle your wife. And she kind of meant more like publicly in front of people, like jokes at her expense, like, my wife this.
Yeah.
But so that for sure. But then also just even when she's not around, like belittling your wife to other people – just about it. So yeah, this is a great addition. Number four, do not sacrifice your marriage at the altar of your kids. Mm-hmm. Don't sacrifice your marriage for your kids is maybe a better way to put that. And what I mean by that, man, we've got three kids right now. Y'all have four. It's demanding. It is, again, I work 50 plus hours a week. And so, you know, and I've told this story, like I get home and it is pretty much, I barely get to say hello to my wife because my kids are running to me, jumping into my arms and dad, and they can't wait. They want to play. And it's just from the time I open the door and I literally have to claw them off of me to say, I'm going to go say hi to mom first, give her a hug, give her a kiss. It can be so easy to sacrifice your marriage for your kids. Your kids are needier. Your kids need more from you, especially when they're young. And this can generally be more of a wife issue than a husband issue because they're moms and that's just kind of what they default to. But man, for husbands too, I would say you very much, going back to the last episode, if you don't prioritize quality time, if you do not make sure that you are nurturing your marriage during this phase of young kids and really taking care of the kids, it can get really dangerous because you'll 5-7 years will pass and your relationship will kind of have eroded because you spent all your time in the kids, investing in the kids, going to soccer practice, soccer games, going to basketball games, whatever it is, and your relationship with your wife again is kind of eroded because you've sacrificed your marriage for your kids. Don't do that.
It's what we call logistical marriages. Talked about that before. Like it all becomes, well, did you take Johnny to soccer practice?
Did you pick that up at the grocery store?
Exactly. And it's all logistics and whatnot. And so many times logistics are just surrounding the kids and you just become like managers of the kids. Not good. Yeah. Make sure that you're spending time. That goes back to your last week about creating quality time together. Just time for you two. Wife and I recently went on a date. It had been a long time since we've been on a date. That's so nice. It just rekindles all those things like, man, I love this person so much. You got kids, crazy kids all the time. You don't always get time to reconnect. Make sure you're taking the time for that. But yeah, I think that's a fantastic one. Number three, don't ever make her feel unsafe. Don't ever make her feel unsafe. What I mean by that is the anger where you're punching holes in the drywall, where you're screaming at her, where you're belittling her and calling her names, ad hominem, and all of these things that really creates a lack of safety. So from your anger standpoint, get a hold of your anger, bringing somebody else in, porn, bringing somebody else into the sex life or whatever it is, even if it's not physically doing it, mentally like checking out and thinking about somebody else or talking about somebody else, you already spoke to that. All of this creates a lack of safety for her. So when you think about what a woman's biggest need is, safety and security, even going and spending all of the, you know, all the money on some new toy, like, man, the new Oculus came out, and it's like, how are we going to make rent? You know, we got to make sure. It creates a lack of safety and security for her. So it's not like everything in marriage needs to be about your wife's safety and security. We got to be risk takers. We got to be willing to do some things. But when you go to take a risk, you need to have created enough safety and security that she trusts you in that to go, okay, I trust that you've got this because you have created enough safety in the past for me to know you've got this. So many guys, they don't think about their wives. They don't think about, you know, the safety element of it and how much maybe the wife specifically, if they've lost control in their anger or whatever, how scary that can be for the wife. And then they want to have a good sex life. And then they want to have whatever it may be. It doesn't happen because the wife doesn't feel secure in the husband's arms.
If there is a question in your wife's mind of does my husband have it covered or not? That's a bad thing. In other
words, does my husband care or not?
Your wife should always think, we're going to be okay. My husband's got it covered. Financially, making rent, you talked about, food on the table, something tragic happens. If that question is in her mind of like, man, I don't know if he's going to handle this or if he's going to have us covered or not, are we going to be okay? Something's probably going wrong. I love that point about obviously never, you know, punching walls, letting your anger go, you know, obviously any kind of violence toward your wife. Even I'm curious your thoughts on raising your voice. Like, I really don't think you should really ever raise your voice at your wife. It's okay to argue and get into maybe passionate disagreements. Raising your voice at your wife, not a good idea. I like this one a lot. I know I say that for every single one of us because Joe's got such great points.
That's so do you. I mean, it's been good. It's been good. Yeah, the raising the voice, I don't have a problem. It needs to be sparing, very sparing. I have raised my voice legitimately like twice in my entire marriage, and it was one of those like,
whoa.
Okay, you know, things are getting heated. I need to calm down, but also for her, like, whoa, this matters to him type of thing. If you're doing it all the time, she starts tuning it out. People don't pay attention. Then you start competing. It just is a disaster from there. So
my number two, do not let yourself go in marriage. Passion point for me. You have a commitment to yourself and to your wife that the work that you did on yourself pre-marriage, you are not going to stop post-marriage.
Yeah.
Gone off on this before, and I will speak just to the husbands. This can very much be a wife problem as well. But the husbands who are all into working out and taking care of themselves and really striving for things before marriage get married, and then basically drop off a cliff, start gaining weight, forget working out, eat like garbage, you know, kind of don't really have any ambition, again, kind of balloon up and gain weight. Don't do that. Don't let yourself go. Even if your wife does it as well, I, as a godly young man, I'm a passionate believer. You really have a commitment to yourself, but then also to her, that you are going to continue to work on yourself. You're going to continue to try to be the be physically attractive to her. You're still going to work on yourself and be muscular and work out and do hard things. You don't want to turn into somebody different than the person that your wife married. And again, I understand your wife might be very guilty of this as well, and we'll let other female podcasts address that because that's a problem as well. But for this specifically, for you as a godly young man, whatever habits, discipline, and working out and eating well that you have pre-marriage, go ahead and plan on, we're going to keep doing that. I'm going to keep doing that. Every single week, I spend at least 3 or 4 hours in the gym, either before work or after work, because it's close to work. Would I rather be spending time at home with my family? Yes. Would I rather be doing other things? Yes. It doesn't matter. I'm still going to commit to doing that because I don't want to let myself go in marriage. And man, do you see this a lot, unfortunately, in Christian marriages. Yeah. I don't know why. That they're generally worse about that than marriages in the world. Christian marriages can't tend to be, oh, well, they're stuck with me. You hear those jokes, like, there's nothing they can do about it. And, like, that's just, I don't know. I have such a problem with that idea, and maybe we'll do a whole episode on this one as well. But don't let yourself go in marriage. You owe it to your spouse. I mean, 1 Corinthians 7, right? Your body is not yours, it is hers, and vice versa. Don't let yourself go.
Fantastic point. That also goes not just with physical. I feel like mental, everything
striving
else.
Striving
like,
for things, working
correct,
hard. Yeah.
Working hard, setting goals, we talked about. All those things, the spiritual, letting yourself go. All of that is like, okay, you had a real strong spiritual life. You know, you were praying, you were studying, and next thing you know, it's like, well, that hadn't happened in like a year. Don't let yourself go. Be sharp in all of these areas, specifically on the physical. I think that's great. The number one, I don't know how I feel about this being the number one, but the number one thing that we would say, do not abdicate your role and make your wife lead.
Well, that's a great number one.
Do not abdicate your role. Yeah, I suppose it all kind of boils down to this. Do not abdicate your role and let your wife lead.
Yeah.
I was reading, recently mentioned this, Joe Rigney's
Leadership and Emotional Sabotage.
Thank you. And he has a quote in there that he says, a husband leading is not a command, it's a fact. It's like,
man,
that's pretty good. That's really good. It's not like, oh, well, you really need to do it. It's like, no, it's a fact. You are the head of the household, whether you want to be or not. You are the leader, whether you want to be or not. You can lead and abdicate, but that's still a leadership style, which is not a, you know, it's a poor leadership style. But it makes your wife step up into your role when you are not taking your role seriously. So anytime, like a wife, talk about safety, a wife does not feel safe when she knows.
When she's having to be out there making those decisions.
Correct.
Yeah.
She's the one that's going to have to lead the family and the happy wife, happy life type of thing of, man, what's my life? What's my wife want the most maybe? And then she comes in and she's got to lead the family. Like, no, I think we need to go here. It's like, okay. That is a very unsafe place for her to be, and it's also not fulfilling for you as a guy. If you are consistently, and we talked about creating safety, there's a difference between creating safety for your wife and letting your wife lead. That actually doesn't create safety for her because she's steering the ship. Yeah. You want to make sure she's not the one having to steer the ship. You're the one making the decisions for where the family's going to go spiritually, how the family's doing financially, where we're going, in any of these areas, physically speaking. We talked about our wives. They set goals on the physical front. I think that's fantastic. But at the end of the day, the buck stops with you. You don't always have to be the one coming up with the leadership plans, you know, like what we're going to do. Take it under advisement. Let your wife say those things. But at the end of the day, you're going to be the one driving the ship. You're going to be the one steering, looking ahead, going, hey, we want to avoid that iceberg. Hey, here's the destination of where we're going. Here's where we ultimately want to be. When you pull back, there's a vacuum of leadership. Somebody will take that role, whether the wife or the kids. Somebody will lead the family. Do not abdicate your role. Step up into that and gladly accept responsibility for your family's spirituality, for your family's health, physically speaking, for your family's emotional well-being, for our physical well-being in terms of, you know, feeling loved and everything else like that. You lead by example. You make sure you got your own mental health under control, your own emotional health, your own spiritual health. Don't abdicate that and give it to your wife where she's the one having to drive the train or you know, basically steer the ship.
I got nothing to add. I love that as a number one because ultimately that is your job. And if you don't want that role, don't get married, don't have kids. Obviously we're big believers that godly young men should get married and have kids, but if you're going to abdicate your role, then you absolutely should not.
Right.
And so, yeah, that was our list. I'm sure you've got others you can think of. As we said last week, I know not all of our listeners are married, but if you've got something to add, let us know. Hit us up in the Discord. As you can tell, and as Joe said at the start, there's a lot more we could have put on here. There's a lot of bad things you can do in your marriage that we would highly recommend, highly encourage you to not do. Some of these are really serious. Obviously, we believe in all of these, but I don't want to you know, end on like just completely negative stuff. Marriage is a lot of fun. Marriage is incredible. Yeah. It's amazing. If you are listening to this one, didn't listen to the last one, go listen to the last episode of the top 10 things to do in your marriage. We'll keep doing marriage episodes. We know it's on Godly Young Men's mind. And so we appreciate you listening to this one. Any other thoughts?
Nope.
Appreciate everybody listening. This has been episode 129 of the Godly Young Men podcast. We'll be back next week.